Live from NPR News, I'm Jack Spear. Polling shows the presidential race in Georgia too close to call, and that's clear on the campaign trail. Just today, Senator Kamala Harris and Donald Trump Jr. were both in the state. As Emma Hurt from member station WABE in Atlanta reports, their visits show just how much things have changed there since 2016.
4 years ago, neither President Trump nor Hillary Clinton visited Georgia after the primary. This year, Trump has been three times since the summer. Today was Donald Trump Jr.'s second trip to Metro Atlanta in 2 weeks.
We need to win overwhelmingly, and we cannot do that without you, Georgia. So get out there! Vote!
It's Harris's first time to Georgia since joining the Democratic ticket. In Atlanta, she spoke with HBCU students.
We need to vote to honor the ancestors, people like the late, great John Lewis. That's a reason to vote.
Nearly 1 million new voters have registered in Georgia since 2016. For NPR News, I'm Emma Hurt in Atlanta.
Following a one-sided committee vote yesterday, the full Senate is gearing up for a rare weekend session as Republican lawmakers race to move Judge Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination through. GOP lawmakers looking to further cement the conservative majority on the high court before Election Day, even as Democrats have sought to stall her confirmation. Yesterday, only Republicans on the Judiciary Committee moved to approve the nomination. Democrats boycotted the vote. On Monday, it's expected Barrett will be confirmed by the full Senate. President Trump says the U.S. has started the formal process to remove Sudan from the list of states sponsors of terrorism. The move comes after Sudan agreed to resolve some claims of U.S. victims of al-Qaeda attacks. More from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Sudan has now transferred $335 million to an escrow account to settle claims of some of the victims of the 1998 U.S. embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania and the attack on the USS Cole. In a statement, the White House calls this a momentous step forward in U.S.-Sudan relations. The longtime leader of that country was ousted last year, and the transitional government has lobbied hard to get out from under U.S. sanctions that are crippling the economy. Families of the victims of 9/11 are worried that the deal could curtail their efforts to sue Sudan, where al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden lived in the 1990s. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News.
Another potential new coronavirus record for the U.S., the number of new daily cases moving higher. The impact of the latest surge is being felt in nearly every section of the country. The U.S. is approaching 8.5 million confirmed cases, with nearly 224,000 deaths so far. Latest lockdown comes as the Ogallala Sioux Tribe's reservation in South Dakota had to shut down. Florida health official also pleading with residents in that state to halt children's birthday parties and large gatherings. A mixed close on Wall Street today. The Dow down 28 points. The Nasdaq rose 42 points today. You're listening to NPR. Mexico will make tomorrow's deadline to send water to the U.S. under a last-minute agreement hashed out between the two countries. NPR's Carrie Kahn reports the deal came after months of clashes between Mexican farmers and federal police over the decades-old water treaty.
Under the treaty signed in 1944, Mexico and the U.S. share water that runs in rivers crossing the international border. But in the last 5 years, a particularly dry period in the region, Mexico has fallen behind in those transfers. Farmers south of the border in the state of Chihuahua have vehemently protested any water deliveries from their dams, at one point taking over a critical reservoir. In the new deal, Mexico will be able to send water from other border dams to meet commitments. Mexico's president thanked U.S. officials for their understanding and solidarity. The water will come from dams in other border states, and the U.S. has agreed to provide drinking water if supplies get critical in Mexican border cities. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Mexico City.
A Central Florida teen is suing his high school after school officials revoked his parking pass for refusing to remove a large elephant statue from the bed of his pickup, a statue he'd painted to promote President Donald Trump. Tyler Maxwell says his grandfather gave him the elephant statue, which they painted red, white, and blue before the 2016 election. Maxwell said now that he can drive and vote, he decided to put the statue in his truck. He was asked to remove it. The family in a federal lawsuit contends Maxwell's First Amendment rights were violated. Crude oil futures prices closed lower today. Oil down 79 cents a barrel to end the session at $39.85 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.